thing that I do. Mm-hmm. Turning over the tape. How many of you have been listening to these Y2K doomsayers? How many of you listen to the last day prophet of God? You know, I don't care what all of these people say. They have a right to say whatever they wish as long as they're not hurting the person or property of any other people. But they are. You say, Brother Stair can spout until his nose turns blue that it's the end of the world. And so can the Midnight Watchman and everybody else. It is not the end of the world. The world is not going to end. There are not going to be gigantic, unbelievable earth changes at the millennium. There are going to be the normal floods and volcanoes and rains and heat spells and droughts and all of that kind of stuff, just as the world has always known. Every once in a while, one of these things will be exceedingly dangerous or catastrophic, but the world is not going to end. And California is not going to fall off into the sea all the way up to my property line in Arizona. And all of the other things that these doomsayers are using to whip you into millennium apocryphal fever. And all of you running around saying that you don't have to get involved in anything or care about anything because Jesus will be here tomorrow, you are wrong. He's not coming tomorrow. He's not coming until you've all forgotten about him and you think he's never going to come, and then he will show up and be right in your face if there is such a thing as him ever coming back to begin with. You see, because if you read what he says, and if you study what happened with him and his disciples, either he's a liar or he's already been here. And I don't think he's a liar. I think your preacher is. That's what I think. Everybody quotes everything in the Bible except what Jesus Christ said in the Bible, the words written in red. They never read those. They never read those. Nobody ever quotes those words. And those are the only words that I read. You see, I don't read any of the other ones. Isn't it amazing? That doesn't mean that I'm right. Doesn't mean that you're right or that you're wrong. It just means, ladies and gentlemen, that everything is cockeyed, screwed up, and everybody's running around spouting off stuff they don't know anything about. And they've got people stirred up like Art Bell does every night in mass hysteria and full-blown panic. And you know what? I wanted to stay up and hear the evolution of Sean David Morton from the simpering little wimp son of Satan that I first met back in 1989. To the great con man that he has become. And I couldn't do it. I was too tired, so I went to bed and I didn't hear a word he said. So when we open the phones, whoever of you listened to Art Bell, I would like to hear the prophecies that he made last night that are going to help whip the world into the mass hysteria needed to cause the final move into world government. And no, he's not causing world government. He's just one little ripple on the pond that is building into the big wave that's going to carry us there. Art Bell is a bigger ripple. Ripple. Mm-hmm. Is ripple a wine? Somebody told me once there's a ripple wine.
I've heard that. I don't know. I have no idea. He wines a lot.
Maybe. Yes, he does wine a lot. He does. I hate whiners. Whiners are amazing. Let's open the phones. 520-333-5555. 4578 and see what you've all got to say about all of this. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello? Goodbye. Well, there was somebody there. Now there's nobody there. So, anyway, the phones are open, 520-333-4578. Let's hear what you've got to say about all this. What do you think about this, what you just heard? What did you hear last night that is going to help move us into this, help create the great panic and the mass hysteria throughout the world that's going to rush us into this, because that's where we're going. It's exactly what's happening. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. It's Professor again. You've talked to me twice in the last week. I heard some of Sean David Morton's predictions last night on Art Bell.
You care to share them with us?
Did you listen?
No, I didn't. I just said I didn't. I was so tired. Remember, during the broadcast last night, I was exhausted. I was tired all day yesterday. I tried to stay up, and I just couldn't do it.
Bill, I'm struggling with some inferior short waves. Can you tell me what would pull... I'm on the move all the time, so I need something very portable. A Grundig God boy, tell me, what would be my best bet? I'm getting you real scratchy right now.
Oh, I can't do that, because if I recommend one and it's not right for you, then you're going to, you know, I don't know that much about radios. I do know that Sandians are good radios, and we offer three different models. If you don't like the models we use, you can go anywhere near you and buy whatever you do like. We recommend and sell Sandians because they have proven to me throughout the years that they're one of the very best for the most reasonable price that you can find.
Look, a while ago when you mentioned what you said about Jesus not coming and all, that was very scratchy, and I hate to have you repeat yourself. But let me just say something real quick, and then I'll try to listen to you back on the radio. I believe Art Bell has a lot of people on that are possessed. I believe Sean David Morton is possessed. After we had our discussion about Art Bell the other night, I looked at your site, what you said about Art Bell. I saw the logo. I know he has a lot of very satanic, occultic... I mean, let's face it. What is occultic is satanic. You agree?
No, that's not true. Occult simply means hidden, concealed.
Right.
The word occult has no other meaning except concealed. If you conceal something from your wife, you are engaging in an occult practice. And that's the truth.
Okay, but in the reference or inference to the occult worship of spirit beings, such as whether it be Baal, like, you know, the Baal logo, Baal, the eye over Horus, whether it be Horus, we recognize that that is and always leads to Lucifer. Do you agree to that?
They believe in the Luciferian philosophy, not in Lucifer. You have to understand now that you're getting into this and you haven't studied it like I have. They do not believe in God. They do not believe in the devil. They do not believe in Lucifer. These are all metaphors. They believe that man is God. Through the use of his intellect, he will conquer life, the universe, and be able to live forever and do anything. That's what they believe. They are secular humanists, and that is their religion.
Their writings, they make contact with, I mean, if you heard...
No, you're reading an esoteric text and you're interpreting it in a literal interpretation, and you cannot do that. You don't understand the language.
So you believe there is no beings. There are...
That's not what I said. I said this is what they believe. It doesn't matter what I believe. It matters what they believe, because whatever they believe will affect us. You understand that?
I sure do. What they believe affects us because they are pushing forward their agenda.
Yes, and they have the power to do it. They are in the places of power.
I'm just trying to fill in a gap here. I know so much of, I understand so much of what you always say. I'm just trying to fill in a gap here for my own consumption.
Reading an esoteric text without understanding the language and interpreting it literally is like going to Greece and never having learned the Greek language and thinking that you know what two people are saying when they're having a conversation in Greek. I'm telling you, you don't.
Well, the text I place above all is the Bible, and the God I place above all is Jesus, in whom the Holy Spirit will be given to those that believe and will give them spiritual discernment. My question for you, Bill, are there demons roaming the earth right now and Satan seeking whom he may devour? Are there spirits with which we must battle, not against, a battle which is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers, spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers in darkness?
Let me put it in a way that everybody listening will understand it. I believe that the battle we are engaged in is the ages-old battle between those who believe in God and those who do not. It is a spiritual battle for the soul of the human being.
Okay, I'm sorry about that, Ringer.
That's all right.
Okay, so are there any demons roaming the earth or any spirits roaming the earth now, in your opinion?
I have no idea. I've never seen one.
Well, okay.
I believe that there...
Your opinion may change then drastically.
It could, yes.
Or if you felt one, your opinion might may change drastically. Well, what do you do with people like Bill Schneblin and say Doc Marquis and so many of these people that have come out of the occult, high ranking? Well, you know, they achieve high ranks in Luciferian worship.
They say.
So you don't miss a beat. You get around to challenging everybody. And that's
I have to challenge everybody because you must, at some point in your life, learn to think or you are doomed.
Well, you know.
They say. I can tell you from my study of the Illuminati, they do not and have not ever worshipped Lucifer. They worship the light. Lucifer, the metaphor. The fire. And it all is a metaphor for intelligence, the mind of man. That's what they worship.
Bill, this has been very, I hate to say the word, enlightening. But
that's why they're called the philosophers of fire.
I see a unity in all of that. I see such a unity.
You're damn right.
How can these men be that united unless there was a spiritual glue, if you would, a spiritual adhesive that holds this whole mishmash together? There is a discipline.
You're asking to understand in a couple of minutes on a phone conversation what it took me 26 years to learn, and I'm going to tell you can't do that. You have study ahead of you.
Bill, I have been attacked by demons, and I have defeated them in the name of Jesus Christ. They have left me alone. They were on top of me, holding me down, and I could not move nothing but my head.
I don't know anything about that. I can tell you this, I cannot accept your word of it, except that that's what you're telling me is your experience. Neither am I saying that you're lying to me. What I'm telling you is this never happened to me.
Right.
There is no scientific evidence of it. I cannot validate what you're saying.
And
if that's what you want me to do, I cannot do it and will not do it.
Each man in his own experience must, you know, come to what it is he's supposed to understand. Well, look, you've enlightened me a great deal in my life, you know, and since I've come across you since 1995, and I am grateful, what you have done is started that fire in a lot of people that got them to thinking, looking, doing their homework.
Now, see, a lot of people out there who don't know that we just discussed the meaning of fire think that you're talking about striking a match and lighting some paper, and you're not, and that's exactly
right.
They're doing with what you just said, with what you do when you read the esoteric texts of the mysteries.
Well, I basically have just confined my study mostly to the Bible, and with that...
Can't do that. If you don't study your enemy, you can't fight the battle. You don't know who he is, what he believes in, where he is, what weapons he uses, or anything else. You're lost on the battlefield. You don't even know where the fighting is at.
But, Bill, you're talking to a man that has battled...
I'm not talking about battling demons. I'm talking about battling in this world for the freedom of mankind. I'm talking about for the future lives of your children. I'm talking about doing the right thing, rooting out and discovering and destroying the evil in man's machinations that would enslave humanity.
Bill, on my website, I have a quote right out of the Bible. It says, "Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty." Where that Spirit of God is, there is liberty.
Tell that to the Christians who believed in God and had the Spirit of God with them and were thrown to the lions in the Colosseum in Rome. I think that they would give you a different story as they were torn limb from limb and devoured in front of your eyes.
And it's not dead yet, Bill, and there'll be plenty more of that going on.
Well, I don't know about that.
In Elberton, Georgia, there'll be plenty more of that going on. I've been there and seen where sacrifices will be carried out, I would say, in the near future. And I believe your timetable for many of the things you say is pretty much on time. The coming economic destruction is now. It's probably, it hit me like a wave. I told a man standing here, he was an Indian, right in front of me, I said the stock market will fall 500 points this July. It was July 3rd. I said before the end of July, it will fall 500 points and will fall a great deal after that. It just hit me like a wave. I have the Holy Spirit. You there, Bill?
Yeah, I haven't gone anywhere.
I heard a click. I have the Holy Spirit in me, and he tells me things like that. You know, I don't need a crystal ball, and I know you studied the mystery schools. I'm just going to tell you that you are dead on target about what you're telling these people tonight, and they had better get on their knees and prepare with their Lord first, and then do what the Holy Spirit leads them to do. And if they don't have that, then they're going to be in some serious trouble, and they may end up standing in line taking the mark very gladly. The mark card says multi-automated reader chip. You know, that's your mark, and the Beast Battle Engagement Aerial Simulation Tracking, isn't that what it's called?
No.
It's called Battle Engagement.
No, but that's what a lot of these silly publications...
Have you ever worked with Norio Hayakawa?
I know Norio Hayakawa.
I know you do, but I mean, have you ever worked with him? In other words, did you ever do a project of any type with him, like Anthony J. Hilder?
Yeah, I've worked with him. Hold on. And I know Anthony J. Hilder, too.
Right, I met him in...
Hold on.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. Now you may continue.
I'm sorry. Anyway, I met him in Atlanta at a Voice of Liberty Citizens Constitutional Georgia meeting. Rick Tyler was hosting him there. But, you know, he's done a lot on the MARC card and the Beast computer and all of the...
I've seen all this stuff. It floats around the Patriot community like crazy, whipping people up into millennium apocalyptic fever, and everybody's running around like a chicken with their head cut off, doing everything except what they're supposed to be doing.
Do you believe there will be a literal mark of the beast, Bill?
I'm not worried about that. If there is, I'm not going to take it. Why should I worry about it and spend my time running around in panic because there's some mark of the beast?
Well,
I'm not involved in it.
I would contend Anthony J. Hilder is one of the leading experts on the coming...
Anthony J. Hilder is a friend of mine. He's
right.
Also a sensationalist. Anthony J. Hilder has never researched anything that he has ever said on his radio show. I know him. I like him in my personal life. When he gets in front of a microphone, I could kick the hell out of him for some of the things that he says without ever even doing 1 second of investigating. He's a hell of a nice, very kind man. But he is irresponsible in his reporting of what he gets on his fax machine.
Bill, I know you're out there all alone and everything. And
I'm not all alone.
You've cut a lot of people off in your time. You've cut a lot of people off. And I just hope that your heart is softened somewhat, because a lot of people are fixing to get hurt. And
I do not feel sorry for them one bit. They have had warning for many, many years. I can do nothing to stop the sheeple from getting hurt except what I am doing, and I have probably done more than most who have ever lived to wake them up and steer them in the right direction.
Chiquetta Hawk said, every age has its Stonehenge, it desires and deserves. And this age is certainly going to have this, but how can you not cry for people throwing their lives into the flame, as it were?
Because if I did, that's all I would do.
I cry every now and then.
Somebody has to fight the battle. You can sit and cry 24 hours a day if you want. I'm fighting the battle.
I don't want to do that. I want to fight the battle, Bill.
Well, then don't ask me why I'm not crying.
I
can't get out on the battlefield and cry.
Every now
if
and
I
then?
Cry, I can't fight.
Okay, well, look, God bless you, brother, and keep it up, and I'll be listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Thank you for your call. Oh, boy. Oh, sometimes I think I'm beating my head against the wall, folks. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Bill. I'm Gary. I sent you something called One God, One State. Kind of pointing out that, you know, throughout the world we had liberty, especially in Northern Europe.
Gary, can I interrupt you for just a second? You need to put your mouth in front of your phone and talk a whole lot louder. You have a very soft, low voice.
Okay, my apologies, sir.
That's
is this better?
That's much better.
Okay. Pointing out that we had liberty, village level, decentralized, do your own thing as long as it didn't hurt somebody else kind of liberty, bear arms, real money, real barter kind of liberty, prior to the advent of Semitic monotheism and its spread throughout our world.
What do you mean Semitic monotheism?
Well, sir, I mean that most of your callers and most folks I meet in the constitutionalist or patriot movement unfortunately try to filter every blasted thing through the Bible, not realizing that it was a confluence of plotters at the Nicene Council who left out as much stuff as they put in.
I've told them that on many episodes of this broadcast, and they just don't seem to want to listen.
I've got your tapes on it, and they're excellent. And they don't want to deal with those paradoxes. They're looking for really simple answers. And the fact is, the universe is not, in my opinion, and I'll just throw it out here for what it's worth, ruled by one dictator who's got everything right. It's ruled by a whole bunch of different forces. You can call the other guy's God a devil or a demon or Lucifer, whatever you like some of your callers have done. But I believe what you've got, sincerely, is where you have a confluence of forces from the collective subconscious of man projected not just into...
That's the Luciferian philosophy. That's the belief of the mysteries. That is the ancient paganism religion.
From previous times as well. And if you get enough people thinking that a cabbage head is divine, probably sooner or later it will come to life.
Well, I think that's probably happened several times. They built that plane out of straw on a Pacific island and worshipped it. Based upon...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that that's what happens when you have a virgin weeping in Italy and us weeping blood.
Well, on this broadcast, we believe in freedom for other people to worship whatever God or altar that they want. We truly believe in freedom.
Which means that
if you talk on this broadcast, you must be respectful of other people's religions also. I would not insult yours, and I hope that you would not insult my listeners' religions.
Mindset which has brought us to where we are today. You've had it basically this way for 1,000 years in the Western world. What we have happening today is a direct result, in my opinion, of Semitic monotheism and its emphasis upon sin and redemption from sin through suffering and the idea that man is so low that he has to be redeemed through a godly sacrifice. This whole concept basically trashes our opinion of ourselves. This whole construct also of constantly being in sin is equivalent on a spiritual level to the idea of constantly being in debt. That's why we based our economies on debt rather than productivity and reinvesting surpluses.
You're making a big mistake there if you believe that Christians believe that they're constantly in sin. They do not. You're echoing a tenet of the headquarters of the Catholic Church in Rome. But most Christians who believe that they have been saved through their belief in Jesus Christ are no longer in sin. They do not live their lives in that manner.
Well, they go through a very complex rule book.
Not if they believe...
The code of honor amongst the ancient Teutons was very, very simple. Just had a few things. Didn't require a whole treatise on it. People basically knew what was right. And did it.
Well, everything in those times was simple. The way they lived, the way they got their food, the way that they thought, their mathematical problems were all very simple. It is only logical that their religion reflected this simplicity. They lived very close to nature, and so their religion usually reflected their relationship with nature.
It was based upon nature and the observation of natural law and putting man to live according to natural law. So it didn't try to manipulate people through sin and guilt and a promised paradise or redemption or that sort of thing.
The only religion that I know that does that is the Catholic religion.
Well, I would suggest to you, sir, that you find that replicated in practice, not your version, but in practice, and most of the Protestants, certainly right here in the Bible Belt, they use the same kind of psychological meta-programming.
Well, if they do, they certainly were not listening to Jesus Christ. They did not read what he said. They're listening to somebody in a pulpit who's lying to them.
Well, which version?
Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life."
Orpheus or Prometheus or which version? I mean, there were 16 others prior to the one that you have quoted in a very limited version, leaving off the Gospel of Hugh, the Gospel of Thomas, and all the other versions that were carefully ferreted out.
This is fairly simply talking about what is quoted that Jesus is supposed to have said in the New Testament of the King James Version of the Bible, which is the standard text for every Christian church in this country.
By what? By people from the Illuminati. It was a very select committee.
Well, now, wait a minute. Whoa. You said that these people believe that they're living in sin all the time and this stuff, and I'm telling you that's not what Jesus said, and now you say it was created by the Illuminati. You are taking and twisting the conversation into an area that has nothing to do with what I said.
Well, I understand where you're leading with that. I'm simply saying that
I wasn't leading anywhere. I was just telling you that if someone is a true Christian and reads the words of Jesus Christ, they do not and cannot believe that they are living in perpetual sin. That's all I said.
I'm saying that it's been very carefully selected. We don't even know what words there were, or even if there was such a, just like Paul Bunyan is not a historical figure. If enough people talk about it enough, repeated it enough, and carefully filtered out enough versions, we might actually arrive at some point 1,000 years from now in a worldwide belief in Paul Bunyan. And that's
exactly what religion is all about. You see, whoever believes in wood nymphs and believes in tree gods is doing the same thing that someone else does when they bow down to a bronze statue of Buddha and worships that statue, which I know they don't really do, but that's the interpretation a lot of people give it. They're just bowing in respect to the memory of the man who gave them the way of life that they follow. But all religion, listen to me, you're talking about religion as if it's supposed to be based on fact, and it is not. Religion is called religion because it is based simply upon an article of faith, that people believe something that cannot be proven to be true and cannot be proven to be false in most instances.
If you believe in liberty, I've read some of your works, I know where you're at on that, like your pale horse document. Clearly you're upset by people who don't believe in it. And that's the bottom line.
Don't believe in what?
Pardon?
Upset by people who don't believe in what?
In liberty.
You're damn right I do.
Right, and what I see to the constitutionalist and libertarian, and especially the constitutionalist circles, the patriot circles, is the kind of forced state religion. I guarantee you, if there were, and I hope there isn't some sort of bloody revolution here, because I think everybody's going to lose if there were, but if there were tomorrow, between the forces of the so-called New World Order, the George Bush types and so on, and their UN troops, and the guys out on the mountaintops in camouflage and the militias, it wouldn't matter as far as liberty goes which side won. There won't be any liberty either way. The folks I know around here that are in the militias basically would put a gun up to my children's head and say, okay, pray or you don't eat, pray or die.
I would say in answer to your statement that you don't know those people. You are reflecting what you have seen on your television set.
People that I have met, sir, personally and have known around here, people you meet at gun shows, people you meet...
And you're taking your experience with one or two or three people, and you're saying all of these people are that way, and I'm telling you that you're wrong. Anyone who believes in the Constitution for the United States, who says that they are a constitutionist, cannot believe in a theocratic religious government.
Read the website Yellowstone.
I don't need to read the websites. There are a lot of intentional dead-end people who call themselves patriots who are not. People who call themselves constitutionists who are not. Who are serving the Hegelian dialectic to help this whole process come about. And that's what I'm trying to warn you all against. And you fall right into it and make a statement like that, which is the same thing as saying all Jews are out to kill all Christians. And it's a lie.
I never said categorically, Mr. Cooper.
You did. You said all these militia and constitutionists and all of these patriots are all the same. You said it right here on this broadcast.
Said the guys I've met around here don't have a program for liberty. They just have a program for their own viewpoint as opposed to Washington's. I don't see their reliance on liberty or the Constitution.
You may know some people who are like that. I know some people who are like that. Whenever I see them, I call them on it. I tell them, you're not a constitutionist, and you don't believe in liberty. You believe in a theocratic government. You believe in the Dark Ages, where if somebody doesn't believe like you do, you're going to burn them at the stake. And I'm telling you, if you start that crap, you'll have to fight me too. Why don't you tell them that?
Sir, I've tried to do that, and I appreciate the point you're making. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. There seems to be this tone creeping into a lot of the websites I check, and a lot of the people I hear who are claiming to be constitutionalists. You just made the distinction I was aiming at. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
You too. Haven't you ever thought that maybe someone is doing this on purpose? So that liberty and freedom doesn't have a chance? I'm telling you, that's exactly what's happening. That's why I've said on many occasions that most of the so-called patriot leaders are not patriots at all. They're on the other side, and if you follow them around long enough, you'll follow them right to a Masonic lodge. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
It's good to hear your voice again, sir.
Thank you.
Robert Veritas. And the last two callers, well, the first one wasn't that bad, but this one that just hung up.
He's not bad. He thinks the same thing that he's accusing all these other people of. He has his own agenda, and he thinks he's the only one that's right, and his religion is the only religion that's right.
Exactly.
He's dogmatic.
That's what I'm trying to...
I know that's what you were going to say. I just got...
I agree with you, because I was raised in a Christian family, and I understand the first caller to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe there is a spirit out there where certain end time goes this area, but I understand the difference of fire. So, this guy, though, is totally either the second guy, rather, was...
He's practicing what he accused everybody else of doing.
Right, and that's scary.
Yeah, he's doing exactly what he accused them of doing to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just as scary as those people who he is afraid of.
And I've learned more freedom from you, and it really slapped me in the face, but that is totally correct. And even biblically, it is totally correct. So I just want to thank you very much, sir, for being on the air. I'm glad to hear you again, and wish you Godspeed.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you.
Thanks.
I don't know why people have such a hard time with freedom. Freedom is simply this, ladies and gentlemen, that you never do anything to hurt the person or property of any other human being. That you allow them to be them. That you allow them to worship whatever religion they want to worship. You see, if you deny them their freedom to do that, then you have also denied yourself. What you have said is whoever is the strongest and in power has the right to dictate what you're going to believe. And that is not right. We are born, all of us, every man and woman upon the face of this earth, we are born with certain unalienable creator-endowed rights. Governments are instituted amongst men to protect those rights. Read it. It's in the Declaration of Independence. If you want the right to be a Christian, you must give someone else the right to be a Satan worshiper if he wants to. God, if you believe in God, will deal with that person, not you. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Remember that? Most Christians aren't Christians. They don't know the meaning of the word. And you're all still dividing yourselves up to fight each other because you want to be free, but you don't want to let anybody else be free. And that's the real cause of all the problems in the world. If everybody would understand and practice freedom, there would be no problems in the world. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Carl.
Carl, can you put your mouth in front of your phone and please talk loud? Thank you.
I understand that George Washington and most of the founding fathers were Freemasons.
That's correct.
Do you have any comment on that?
I've commented on it probably 5 million times. I have done hours and hours and hours upon it. Their memberships, what they belonged to, what their goal was, why they founded this country, and why they knew that someday we would give it all up in exchange for security from the state.
But they put all these wonderful documents into law.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, they put these wonderful documents, the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
The Bill of Rights.
Yes.
All put into law.
Yes.
The safeguards.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Do you have any comment on that?
I've already told you. I've commented it 5 minutes. In fact, I just commented the other night again.
Well, I wasn't listening.
Apparently. But I can't do every show the same every night. There's got to be a point where I tell you that if you want to know, if you want to hear it again, after all the times I've commented on it, purchase the tapes or put your nose in a book.
Hello?
Goodbye. Sorry, I've got to do this, but apparently you can't hear me. And if you can't hear me, we can't have a conversation. Good night. Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. I just explained the whole thing. night before last, wasn't it? Or not long ago. Good evening, you're on the air.
Okay, let me turn my radio down. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
You got it before I get the radio now. Yeah, is it okay if I make a comment about Y2K?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a computer programmer for a bank.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I've been involved in year 2000 testing for about a year.
Uh-huh.
Actually, making code changes, we just now started doing testing. And now, before I got into this and doing it, I was probably one of the doomsdayers.
Uh-huh.
But after getting into it, you know, hearing what you were saying tonight, I can reiterate what you have been saying, is that the perception that people have about that is what's going to really cause the problems. Because what I've ran into in doing the testing, yeah, I have ran into trouble. I mean, we have warped all the data, all the dates,
uh-huh,
you know, relative to the year 2000.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we went like the last business day in December and went over to year 2000. And, you know, we ran into problems. But what's happened is that we're able to quickly identify those problems.
And then solve them, right?
Yeah, because see what it is, the people that are writing the code, after you've got in there, done changes, and you know how it works, you're real familiar with what's going on in there. When you see a problem, you're like, oh, I know where that's happening, and you can fix it immediately.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be problems, no doubt about it, because there are so many things out there. I mean, and people who write code understand it, but, I mean, you can't... everything is out there. You're not going to see it at first. I mean, the problem will occur. You better fix it pretty immediate.
Pretty quick, right?
Yeah. So you're right. No doubt that you're right. And also, too, I just want to say one thing. Is about, you know, last couple of nights, I heard y'all talking about Waco. Is that you were the one that actually probably opened my eyes. I remember when that happened, and you know how they were saying that, you know, they set the thing on fire and all that, You know, I believe that. But I heard you in my local area here, which is around Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I heard you on an FM station here in the morning talking about that, talking about how, you know, I think WWCR got burned and you were telling the things that you knew.
Uh-huh.
I was sitting here going, I've always been open-minded. And I was like, well, wait a minute. You know, what's this guy saying? So I started looking. And then, you know, you probably know the rest of the story. I've come all the way up to doing, I'm a rebroadcaster now. Actually, I'm rebroadcasting a show as we speak.
Excellent.
So, I just thought I'd let you know, you were the one to open my eyes up, and actually, I'm a much happier person than that now, because I feel like I know a lot more. I'm not in the dark.
Yeah, you're not going around with that funny feeling in your stomach. You know something's terribly wrong, but you don't know what it is. Now you at least have some idea, right?
Yeah, because when I was younger, I used to play in heavy metal bands, and got a lot of ridicule for that. I mean, and got harassed by the police a lot when we play out in clubs. And I'd always think, well, you know, why are the police harassing us? Because even when I was younger, I studied a lot about Nazi Germany. It was just something I was interested in. And I was like, well, wait a minute, this doesn't seem right. And then I started, you know, after I heard from you on that show that day, I started looking, and I was like, you know, we got problems. Big problem.
Yeah, so, there's no reason for any police officer anywhere to harass anyone under any circumstances whatsoever unless you are engaged in the commission of a crime.
That's correct. And also, I don't know if you want to make a comment about this or not, but was Ross Perot's little stunt?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Is
what okay?
Okay. Oh, making a comment about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
In fact, I opened up the broadcast making a comment about that. If I talk about it, you can talk about it.
Okay. First of all, I think Ross Perot is a disciple of democracy, okay? Remember when he first came out, you know, he was talking about setting up the big electronic vote, allowing everyone to vote on.
Sure, he's a populist. He's also a socialist.
Yeah, which is wrong.
The first thing he said after his first televised town hall meeting, when he came out, one of the reporters there stuck a microphone under him and asked him what he thought about the Constitution. He said the Constitution was penned over 200 years ago by a bunch of doddering old men who didn't understand the complexities of the modern age. We've got to change the system.
Yeah, didn't he mention...
That's a direct quote, exactly word for word.
But didn't he mention one time Tom, we need to change our government to a parliamentary system.
Yes.
I remember him saying
yes,
that.
He is a socialist. I'm telling you right now, Ross Perot is not on our side.
Oh, yeah.
And it should tell you something when he admits that he's a populist.
Yeah.
The Populist Party grew out of the attempts by the socialists to unionize farmers in Kansas back in the days of the early unionizing attempts for in the agricultural area.
Okay.
Populism is socialism.
Yeah.
And that's going to make a lot of people at the Spotlight mad, but it's absolutely true, and that's why I've been telling you don't read the Spotlight unless you're going to read it in an open, objective manner and not believe everything that they tell you.
Yeah, the first time me and my wife looked at Spotlight, we kind of labeled it Patriot Inquirer. That's the way we viewed it.
Well, it's not patriotic. It's socialistic. It's populist. Anything that's populist is socialist.
But one thing, like
a lot of the enemy masquerades under this name Patriot or Constitutionist.
Yeah.
They are not. They don't even know the meaning of the word.
Yeah, exactly. Populism. One thing I want to say about this whole Ross Perot thing, also to do with the rest of the country, is that, you know, he's doing this in his petition up, but bottom line is, it doesn't matter what the people think. The Constitution defines why the president should be impeached and who is to do it. What the people think, it doesn't matter here.
That's part of the great democratization of America, which will rush us straight into socialism.
And I think if the Congress sits back and lets the opinions of the people drive whether or not they're going to impeach him, our democracy, I mean our republic, is almost gone already. And when this happens, it's the final nail in the coffin.
Well, it is almost gone. I don't even know if there's any of it left, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And
I think we may have just a small remnant, but that will be the final nail in the coffin.
And despite
they're going on what people think.
Yeah.
And I read through the Constitution the other day. I couldn't even find, you know, maybe you can correct me because you're probably I'm sure you're more versed than I am, but I couldn't even find in there where it said the people even vote for the president to begin with, the electors.
They don't. The people don't vote for the president. They vote for the electors.
Yeah, but I don't even see in there where the people were even supposed to vote for the electors.
Well, they don't have to.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with it. That's why I've been telling people for years, well, their perception of what happens is not reality at all.
Yeah.
If they just read the Constitution, they would be able to maybe figure it out if they understand English.
And didn't they base a lot of this on Plato, what Plato thought a republic should be? I mean, he didn't feel that everyone should have a vote. I mean, we had representatives, because the majority of the people out there have the common sense to run a government. That's why we point to
you
the people
for
it. And we feel are better suited for that.
Yeah, and it should not be elected officials either.
Oh, really?
Not by the people, no. Who do the people elect? Joe Blow, who runs the used car lot. What the hell does he know about running a government?
Yeah.
Our founding fathers set up this country to be run by statesmen, and they set it up so that the people could be elected to take turns to go to Washington and sit in Congress for one or two sessions and come back and run their homes. They never dreamed that there would be such a thing as a professional politician. They never even dreamed of that. And there was not supposed to ever be senators elected by the people. See, these things are slowly changed gradually over the years to propel us into democracy, which always falls into an oligarchy and then into socialism or dictatorship.
And then, yeah, if you notice, a lot of people, I don't know if some people notice this, but like, you know, when the Federal Reserve was instituted, around the same time the senators, the Constitution was changed, a lot of people to elect the senators instead of state legislatures. I mean, it all kind of fell in place.
Yeah.
Like,
the two major, and you notice that these numbers have occult significance. The first major step to destroy the nation was made when the Civil War began. The second was in 1913. The third was 1933.
Get off here and let someone else call, but good talking to you, and glad for you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, man. You have a good night.
Glad for me. What I do? I don't know why he's glad for me. I haven't. Did I get a new car and don't know about it or something? 520-333-4578 is el numero. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I just wanted to say I've listened to your show for quite a while, probably back in the first year of your broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling from around Nederland, Texas. And I know sometimes you feel you're banging your head against the wall.
Oh, whatever gave you that idea?
No, I don't know. But I just want to tell you, tell a little bit about my story. You kind of, catch on to your broadcast, listening. It made me, study more. I ended up going back to school and I became a teacher.
Let me interrupt you for just a second. I got to change this tape.